Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Match Ball.
Welcome to the show. The Match Ball 30 is sponsored by Callidus, leading consultants in health and safety, project management, asset management, environmental services and training. Visit wearecallidus.com for more information. I'm Dan Moylan and I'm joined by Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White. Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
Still there, getting tired of it. October now. Ryan Adams.
Well, anything around, I mean, you're into your popular music, aren't you? Anything around the corner you think can shift it?
As a teenager, obviously very much into music, I've heard whispers of stuff maybe getting in there. You know that comedian Vic Reeves? Have you seen him on the telly? He's quite a funny man. There are rumours of him putting some music out. Okay. I don't think that makes much sense though, but we'll see.
The New Kids on the Block, are they still going?
I think they're hanging in there, hanging tough, yeah, etc. Right, let's crack on with it then. Yorkshire Derby today, this is fun, isn't it? Sheffield United, who got promoted with us, are now languishing near the foot of the division because they're rubbish.
It should have been fun. I mean, it was fun for a time, till it wasn't. We should have just battered them and left it at that.
Well, we did batter them, it's just that we didn't leave it at that. Isn't it funny how in the games against Sheffield United, the keepers always seem to feature quite prominently? There's always a weird kind of keeper flex going on with it. Like, you know, Simon Tracy lost his head for fun. He's not even in goal for them. It's Phil Kite. And he gets involved in this. But we'll get to all that in due course.
He's been flying this season, hasn't he?
Yeah. Hey. Mm-hmm. Flapping a little bit.
Phil Kite.
Yes.
They've had him on strings.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've nothing to add.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we look like we're playing Watford today, but we're not. We are playing Sheffield United in their away kit. Yellow shirts with the black sponsor on, red shorts and socks. We are in the traditional all-white, lining up. John Lukic in goal, Mel Sterland, Tony DiRigo, David Batty, John McClelland, Chris White, Steve Hodge, Carl Schutt, Lee Chapman, Gary McAllister and Gary Speed, with Fairclough making it back to the bench and an absolute Rolls-Royce of a player, so Michael Whitlow on there as well. So the injury's still nibbling at us a little bit. Strachan's still out, but Chris Fairclough on the way back.
Strachan on the bench in a suit and tie. It's not what anybody wants to see, is it?
For Sheffield United, yes, Phil Kite in goal for them, Tom Cowan, Brian Gale, Paul Beasley, Bob Booker, Mike Lake, and we got Ian Bryson, Jamie Hoyland, John Gannon, Charlie Hartfield, and Tony Agana lining up for them. So no Brian Dean, you know that lad from Leeds, seems to score quite a lot of goals for them, doesn't he? He's not in the lineup today. Carl Bradshaw and Dane Whitehouse on the bench. And Dave Bassett, of course, Sergeant Wilco's great friend in the opposite dugout at Elland Road.
Phil Kite once disappeared with Brian Gale.
Hey, that's excellent.
That's good. Well done. With Bassett and Wilco in opposite dugouts, we're also at opposite ends of the table as well because they're right down the bottom. Always like one win they've got in their opening 11 games. Pathetic.
It's strange though. The worse the Blunts seem to be getting, the harder we seem to find it to beat them. When we were in the title race, so they were obviously, you know, to get promoted with us, they were second place. In the end, very good side in Division 2. And we walloped them 4-0. But we've not quite repeated that since we got promoted. And certainly, although we did race off into a comparable lead, holding it, we ended up holding each other.
It is hard to explain exactly what happened here because we are absolutely dicking them to the point where when we go 4 up, it's, you know, we got to that polite applause stage of goals going in where you realise, ah, this game's won now. It's all over. But let's get to that. So 1-0, 5 minutes in, Mel Sterland always seems to be involved against Sheffield United.
He hates them. There's no disguise to that. Mel Sterland hates Sheffield United and thinks it's hilarious.
And Carl Schutt, no doubt, hating Sheffield United after his little wedding incident that we still haven't got to the bottom of, have we? It's not being reported what happened there. Sort of wedding in Sheffield.
They're just old school Wilco's army. I mean, Mel is from Sheffield anyway, so is a Wednesday fan. And Schulte played with him for Wilco's team. And, you know, obviously we've got Chapman was at Wednesday for a long time. Who else have we got from Sheffield? I think that's it for this lineup. But there's enough Sheffield United dislike in there, you know, knocking around the place. We've still got Imre Vardy in the squad and players like that who, if I remember rightly, Vardy and Sterland used to play cards with Simon Tracy, the goalkeeper.
Did he drop them?
Sheffield United. So they're all, they have that kind of healthy rivalry.
Anyway, to that first goal, and Sterland with a subtle throw-in on the right.
Trying to throw it into the net, I imagine.
Complex interplay. Beautiful. No, it's not. He absolutely lobs it in from the right. It gets headed away by the defender, but it just falls to Hodges inside the area, and he just sort of scoops it into the far corner. It seems just far too easy, this goal.
It's a careful volley, isn't it? The ball is dropping, and rather than smack it into the top corner, he kind of redirects it as it drops to the ground so that it bounces in a very straight line, just inside the post. Sort of the last thing you'd expect him to be doing. You've seen balls drop like that and people, you know, will divert, they'll willy it over the, kind of hook it and put it into a top corner or something, but he's gone. It's almost like a putt in golf. I'm going to put it there.
That's a good description. That. Yeah, yeah.
Don't bounce the ball. I think you'd get told off if you started bouncing a ball across a green.
And equally, if you did take
if it was a football.
If you took a big metal
studs.
If you took a big metal golf stick onto a football pitch, you're going to get told off for that as well, aren't you? So Schutte hits the post from a corner in the first half, and it's 2-0 then on 29 minutes. Now, this looks dubious to me. I mean, we've seen the replays since this game. It didn't look like it was handball inside Elland Road today, and the replays certainly don't make it look like it was, because he's penalised Phil Kite for handling outside the box. It looked to me like he let go of the ball long before it travelled over the edge of the area, but maybe the linesman knew better than me. I don't know.
To clarify, it was he was kicking from his hands, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So the accusation is that he took too many steps outside his penalty area before dropping the ball and kicking it, and so handball. I don't want to accuse anybody of corruption, but I do know that Mel Sterland likes to bet on these games, whether the linesman is maybe adjacent to one of his card schools,
which is still legal at this point, we should say.
Yes, you can bet on the matches. Lee Chapman always bets on himself to score first, although he's not done that for quite a long time. And
maybe he's just kept quiet because he's losing all his money.
And Mel always has some money on himself against Sheffield United, which may.
But was this his goal?
Relevant
though?
Again.
Was this his goal? Or he certainly claimed it maybe for this reason, because we're shooting towards the south stand end from the very edge of the area. It's one of those intricate three-man setups with a little touch and a step over and then a welly from Mel. And he does hit somebody in the wall on the way through. I think it's one of our players, but it's hard to tell exactly who it was. It all happened so quickly, but it does deflect in the net anyway.
Try taking that goal off him.
Off him while that big arm of his is spinning round in celebration.
And he's windmilling, isn't he, there?
It's a great celebration, is this one. It's probably something you'll have seen before, but he's loving it. You can tell it means an awful lot to him. Potentially means a little bit too much to him to score against them.
What's happened is we have a player in the wall, and I think it might be Gary Speed who jumps to give a gap for Mel. And Mel perfectly does find the gap beneath the jumping speed, but it deflects off his toes and kind of redirects past the goalkeeper. But you're giving that goal to Mel Sterland, especially because I can picture him saying to Gary Speed, "You got all the looks. Give me the goal."
Yeah, a polite young way. Gary Speed isn't going to try and take this off him, is he?
Please, Melvin.
Well, no disputing the next goal anyway, because he very definitely hit the penalty that resulted from this on 38 minutes. So barely 10 minutes later, and it's 3-0. And
there is a bit of disputing it if you're Gary McAllister.
Nah, it's game over, isn't it? This, I mean, disputing who played the final ball into the net, because that was Mel Sterland. But there was a bit of a, shall we say, disagreement about who was going to be taking this one, and Mel definitely wanted it.
I mean, he's out of order here, isn't he?
Yes,
let's be fully honest about it. Gary McAllister takes the penalties. Just because we're two up and we're playing Sheffield United doesn't mean that he gets the right to just have it.
Well, it is worth saying Strachan normally takes the penalties, and presumably there is a pecking order in which McAllister is next.
Mm. But then the next hitch that they come up against, and you can see McAllister was turning to the day's captain, saying, "Are you going to sort this out and assert your authority to assert my authority as penalty taker?" But the captain in Strachan's absence and with Fairclough on the bench is David Batty. And I don't think Batty particularly gives a toss.
Sort it out yourselves.
Whoever got one of you. So that's kind of McAllister's, and you can kind of see his sinking feeling as his last thing. Well, I'll get the captain over to sort this off. It's Bats.
Well, let's talk about the build-up to the penalty as well before we get to the execution of it. Some lovely stuff from McAllister. Some really nice football in this one. Certainly not the industrial kind of lob it into the box stuff, but McAllister gets it on the right-hand side, and what a touch this is as well.
It's a great crossfield pass to Speed on the left, and he takes it beautifully, plays it to the underlapping fullback. Tony Dorigo is racing into the box, and is it Bryson? Bill Bryson, distracted by his trips across America writing books, pulls down the Australian. Maybe he was asking him for some local information.
It was cute by Dorigo, wasn't it? He did that thing where you go across the defender, and he's, you know, whether he's felt a heavy touch or a light touch, he's gone down under it. And
Mike Whitlow wouldn't have gone down.
But what
Mike Whitlow would have been going too fast, because Mike Whitlow is like a racing car going into turbo. So once he starts, it's very difficult to slow him down. What Dorigo's
done. So you're saying he runs it out of play?
What Dorigo has done is, as he runs across Bryson, he kind of slows down a little bit to make sure Bryson runs into him, and then he goes flying. It's cute.
It is very, very cute. £1.3 million worth of penalty won. And it is, following the arguments, it's Mel Stirland who takes it. It's quite close to the keeper, this, isn't it? But he hits it with enough power that it's just sort of, I think it's quite close to his body, but too close for him to get his hand down to it, if you know what I mean. So if you put your hand down to it, it's just going to slip between your hand and your foot. But it's hit hard, it's well placed, even if it is quite close to the goalkeeper. But Mel doesn't give a toss, does he?
It's very well celebrated.
Yeah. I mean, it's a terrible penalty. We really should. If the keeper stands completely still, he can just dangle his left foot out and save it. But because he's I think he's taken a bit of a step to his right, and then he tries to correct it and it's too late and he can't quite get down to it. I imagine Gary McAllister would have been furious if the keeper had just stood still and booted this out, which he could have done. Because he doesn't... He hit it hard,
Michael.
Not that hard, though.
He did. Hard enough that Mel knows what he's doing. He's putting his foot through this.
Not hard for Mel. Mel can hit it twice as hard.
Mel could have taken his head off, but it went in the end. And Gary McAllister's furious face suggests everybody will have forgotten about it. And it puts us 3-0 up anyway.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
3-0 at halftime, and the newly relocated family stand in the south stand enjoying all the goals, and they go straight up the other end in front of the Kop and make it 4-0 just after halftime. 47 minutes.
I mean, we were praising Gary McAllister's precise crossfield pass that set up the penalty. He's gone off injured at half time. And so it's another precise ball out of defence that
pinpoint.
Michael Whitlow is playing that sets this one up. It's a beautiful, even longer distance, I think, than McAllister managed. He was only going across the pitch, whereas this is from one end to the other. Beautiful stuff.
Crossfield across, it covers most of Elland Road over towards the northeast corner, doesn't
to
it?
To find Lee Chapman's head from a range of, 78 yards? McAllister can't do that. That's, we've lost nothing for Gary Mack going off and Whitlow coming on.
Double flick on for this one as well. So Chapman wins that first header, which is obviously the difficult one, but the ball made it easy, didn't it, Mostert?
Well, exactly, yeah. He's just come to meet it on the edge of the penalty area, and it's like a gentle kiss from Mike Whitlow himself, and he flicks the ball into the...
This is turning into like erotic fan fiction, isn't it, now?
So then further across the box to Gary Speed, who flicks it on again.
Then Steve Hodge lets it down terribly by letting it bounce. This could have gone end-to-end without a bounce if he'd only got there a bit sooner and volleyed it, but it's a half volley.
Huge credit to Speed as well, because he didn't put a lot on this, but he did it exactly right. He just steered it into Hodge's path.
And Hodge, you have to say, looking like a good buy now. Just keeps popping up with these goals, doesn't he? And he does take this one well as well. It's because it has bounced right in front of him, and he's very close in, but it's still it would be easy to just lash it anywhere on this sort of a goal, but it's a good finish.
Yeah, it's a calm finish in front of the goalkeeper when he's put through, and you can see in the celebrations, Gary speaking, a big thumbs up and a clap to Mike Whitlow, the architect of the of the move. But it did look like a training ground one. That second flick from Speed felt calculated to me. It's not, and knowing how much work and practice they put into set pieces, none of this happened by accident. Whitlow will have been pumping that ball forward hour after hour after hour, and it worked.
It's dark. It's dark at Fullerton Park, and he's still there doing it, isn't he?
Presumably, we don't practice defending 4-0 leads, though.
Well, look, let's first of all deal with the joy of this, and that's what I was on about when I was saying there was almost a polite ripple of applause when the fourth went in, because it's a thumping, isn't it? It's a hiding. The game's over. It's just after half time. And, you know, like Bassett's probably said to them, get out there and win the second half, or whatever he said. And Leeds have put it to bed, and there are chants as well from our fans of "You're in the wrong division," which seems fair. However,
yeah, what happens then? I mean, they get one 54 minutes when they get their first goal, and it's a fairly well worked goal, I suppose. Quickly taken free kick down the left, cross in, header, fine, 4-1. That's all right still. And then it gets to 76 minutes. We've still basically been in charge of it. Speed's nearly scored from a corner.
I mean, we had a couple of chances, didn't we? Actually, with the Speed almost scoring for a corner, we had one ruled out for offside too, didn't we? Which I think we should have stood. That was Shutty, wasn't it? He wasn't happy.
I mean, I'm gonna say the linesman has made up for his previous error, even if it wasn't the same linesman. I've no idea.
But anyway, yeah, 4-2 then on 76. What does Shutt do here? Because he's done all the good stuff when he had that offside goal denied, and then he's had a moment of madness because he kind of drops deep to try and pick the ball up. Back into our own half, over towards the west stand, and for reasons best known to himself, plays an incredible through ball, but for Tony Ogana.
Yeah, he's kind of being tackled as it happens, and I don't know if that's enough to completely mess up what he's attempting, a back pass to Lukic, but Lukic is in his 6-yard box, Shuts near enough on halfway over on our left wing, and his pass rolls perfectly into Tony Ogana's path just outside the penalty area. So it's really, it's about 15 yards away from John Lukic and not with the spit. Like, even if Ogana hadn't intercepted it, it's not getting any closer to John Lukic than it has got. So it's a really, I mean, it's the simplest finish in the world for a striker with the quick feet and quality finishing ability of Tony Ogana.
We should keep an eye on him.
Yeah, I mean, Lee Chapman's not scoring many, is he? So maybe some kind of swap deal. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Shorty, he'll have heard a lot about this from Mick Hennigan after the game, I think.
Anyway.
Shorty, what are you playing at, Shorty, you daft bastard?
83 minutes. It made for an uncomfortable last seven. And it got back to 4-3. What happened here? Well, it's a free kick. Just pumped into the box, really. And John Lukic, we're not the most convincing punch in the world.
I think it's Shutt's done his head in. He's got inside his head. He thinks he needs to come on to the edge of his box or everything now. He's just running out. But yeah, he comes for this free kick. And
touches of Grobbelaar the other week.
Yeah, a little bit. Gets a crap punch on it. And it basically just falls to Bradshaw, who's got to just kick it into a vacated net.
Mm.
But anyway, we hang on.
We did hang on, yeah. And it's funny, isn't it, how you're cruising and a game can turn like that. And Wilco, in his own inimitable style, not that impressed.
This is possibly one of the bitchiest comments I've ever heard from Wilco. He says, it proved that goals don't necessarily make great matches. There's a lot of side eye, a lot of different people there. He's calling out people who like goals and will make that assumption that, oh, 4-3, I bet that were a good game. And then he's also calling out, I don't know, people's stand. I don't know what the other side of it is, basically.
People who like entertainment.
People that like entertaining football, yeah. And he's getting at people who think you need goals to have a great match. He's a big fan of the exciting 0-0 is World Cup. Well, probably more the exciting 1-0. He'd want the win. But he manages to pack a lot of Wilkinson into just one
sentence.
And a remarkably short sentence given Howard's track record.
We also found out that in the run-up to this that Chris White and Gary McAllister were only past fit to play on the morning of the game. So maybe a little bit of excuses, you know, because it's that we had to take McAllister off at half-time, so maybe we lost our shape a little bit.
Are you saying about the sub?
Well, I'm not. I'm just saying we had to change our plans. Our form and shape had to change. Not that it's no value judgment on Michael Whitlow, who came on and did a sterling job.
And to be fair, it was an excuse that he got in before the game because he was saying after the last match that he really had, if you asked him to name a team for Sheffield United, he wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah. And not to mention Mel Sterling going off because he's taken a bit of a whack there. But do we know what's happened there yet?
Trying too hard. That's what he's done.
Hitting the ball too hard.
Dislocated his shoulder with that celebration, probably.
We've got the games piling up a little bit now because we've got Scunthorpe with the second leg of the League Cup, which is not really helpful in terms of nursing players back to health. But some good news elsewhere because Man United dropped points 0-0 at home to Liverpool. Just having a look through the results from this weekend. Arsenal beating Chelsea 3-2, Villa 4, Luton 0, Everton 3-1 against Spurs. We won, obviously, 4-3 against Sheffield United. Oldham and Southampton 1-1, QPR 0, Forest 2, Wednesday 4, Crystal Palace 1. West Ham losing at home 1-0 to Coventry, and Wimbledon 3, Norwich City 1. With the Sunday games, Man United 0-0 with Liverpool, and Notts County 1, Manchester City 3. Leaves it a little closer at the top. We've closed the gap from 6 points down to 4. Man United have played 11 and they're still unbeaten, but they have 27 points. We have played 12, a game more, and we have 23 points with Arsenal, Sheffield Wednesday and Coventry still hanging in there, all on 20. Making up the top five.
And Notts County losing on Sunday, they're our next opponents. And if you remember a while ago with this Neil Warnock character in charge, they were up the top half of the table. But it feels like things are getting a little bit more into the right places with Manchester City, who are sixth, beating them 3-1, putting them down to 16th for Notts County. Because, if you remember, they were sort of in the top six with a negative goal difference, weren't they? And that could only last for so long.
The referees have got it in for them.
Four teams go down this season as well, don't they? So it's putting Sheffield United in a bit of a...
Sheffield United plus three others.
A hairy spot. Well, they're bottom on 6 points with only one win still. 5 points adrift from West Ham, who are in 18th. So long road back for them, that you would have thought.
Yeah, they'll not do it.
No?
No. I mean, it did get a little bit close at the end of Elland Road. I mean, that's kind of equivalent. If you look at the first division table being bottom of it with one win after 12 games, that's definitely 4-0 down at half time, and they might get back to 4-3 by the end of the 90 minutes, but they're not staying up.
No, okay, that's a bold claim. Well, I'm not that bold, really.
Get down.
Okay.
Your blunts, get down. Mel Sterland will have a big bet on them going down as well.
So looking at the fixtures to come, we have got that Scunthorpe game, which is a bit of an inconvenience, really, that, isn't it, with all the injuries we were carrying, as I said. But then we look ahead to Notts County.
Got an international break as well, so maybe that will allow a few of our injured players to get back to fitness if they don't get forced into playing for Scotland in the meantime.
Right, well, we will reconvene on October the 19th when we face Notts County, and we'll speak to you then.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.